Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It goes across the left Yodul Bridge. It's kind of curving around onto that little port walk there on the other side of the cove.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is clearly like the left Yodul gate entrance, right? There's a little person holding a sign saying, no, this is the Willie Mays gate entrance. So you're all the way across the cove, got to go over the bridge, past the ballpark, past the dugout store to Willie Mays Plaza just to get in. The left Yodul gate was all the way down the arcade, down to the Seals gate. Like, it was absolutely nuts how many people and how long those people were standing in line to possibly not even get a jersey. There are people who are standing in line the whole time, and they were fan number 15,001.
I shouldn't have to. Real quick, I bought my ticket to a game specifically. If some people do this, to go get the prize or whatever it is, the giveaway, I should automatically be able to get that.
And
like,
let me defend
people. Come on, man.
Let me defend people. Right? Like, on Friday night, for example,
I have kids and stuff. You want them standing around?
That's what
forever?
I was going to go. So, like Friday night, traffic was awful. There was an accident on the bridge, and traffic was at a standstill.
They had Metallica.
It took 30 minutes to go one block.
There was a lot happening. Yeah.
So let's just say, like, you're coming in from somewhere out of town, right? And you're not. You don't live in. I live in the city, and it still took me forever.
There was plenty of people from Boston that probably made the trip.
100. Oh, yeah. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, it's me and my cousin. We're in our 40s, so we can walk past a lot of the families that have kids. But if you have kids and you're going to the game to go get a Jungwoo Lee jersey for your kid, like, that's weak. I'm sorry. Like, the Giants have enough wherewithal. Figure it out.
And it was warm.
Get the 40,000.
If the Dodgers can do it, like, every single one of their giveaways, the Giants can do it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And it was really warm yesterday, too.
Well, like, it was
if you were standing in that line with your little kid, with the weather said 68. That was the warmest 68 I've been in the city for a long time. So if you're standing out there with your kid with the sun beating on you for 2-3 hours to maybe get a jersey, like, you cannot let your fans go through that.
The microclimates inside of Oracle Park are unreal. I was on the first base side in club level. I took my jacket off Friday night. Then in the ninth inning to like get out like on time, we walked down around. Hey, let's watch from the cable car, which is dead center field.
Sure.
Right? So we go down to dead center field to watch the ninth inning, me and my cousin. It was like I was in Antarctica. It was so cold and so frozen. So depending on where you are in that stadium, it can be 20-25 degree difference.
Right. That's just the Bay Area in general, too. I think that's a perfect synopsis of what it is.
It was a wind tunnel.
I work here in San Francisco. I go to Oakland, always dress in layers in the Bay. Everyone knows that. Always bring a sweatshirt, bring the shirts. You'll be fine. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. By the way, shout out to Valkyries. Big win yesterday over the Connecticut Sun.
The Valks are a big.
They're balling right now.
At my cousin's party for his 4-year-old yesterday, the boys, my Liam and Nolan were going to the Valkyries game. Everybody's talking about the Valks right now.
They should be. They're balling.
It really is. One thing I will say about Oracle, it's been 25 years at AT&T, a.k.a. Oracle, Pac Bell Park, whatever the heck you want to call it. I got to give the Giants a lot of credit. The stadium's beautiful. It's amazing. No doubt about it. But they add all these nuances. So, like, center field is totally different today than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They've restructured the Coors Light landing area. The cable car's back a little from where it used to be. There's that 415 section. The bleachers were rocking on Friday night and all weekend long. And I just, the way that they've subtly made additions and subtractions and altered various parts of the stadium, I got to give the Giants a lot of credit. Because every time I go there, I feel like I see something new. And I've been to, like I said, 3 or 4 games this year already. And it's just, they do a great job. Even when the game stinks, the environment's fun.
And the environment was popping on Saturday after this happened.
It's one high.
and deep to left, and out of here! I don't care what Rafi Devers says after the game. That meant a lot.
Well, who he hit it for and who he hit it against had meaning on both sides of the swing. And that was impressive.
So what's funny is, like, AT&T during the day plays totally different than it does at night. It really is like three different parks at times, depending on how the wind, because Friday night the wind was swirly. It wasn't like a blowout or blow in. It was swirly.
And your sea level, that sun, it hits you at certain parts too in day games, right? And the swirling winds, it's very difficult to play there.
It really is. Yeah. And I think he has this like go the other way left center field approach. I think it'll change over time. One thing I noticed is that depending on who he's going up against, he really changes his swing. He's not a, like, I swing one way every time, no matter what kind of a player. I'm learning a lot about Rafi. The number one thing is I would tell him is like, hey, dude, relax. Mm-hmm. You don't need to justify being a Giant in one swing. Like, we're here for the long haul. Just settle in, be a little more selective.
All right, and I appreciate him doing that and being a little bit more aggressive, he's pressing a little bit, but because he feels it. Like, and that's an important thing. He feels the importance and the significance of that series. He's trying to ingratiate himself into a new community of fans, too. Like, it's very different. Boston fans, San Francisco fans, they're very different, but just in all you care about, and this is what we care about in sports in general. I don't care if you're a Red Sox fan. I don't care if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan. I don't care if you're a Seattle Mariners fan, Giants fan. Just produce. We'll love the hell out of you. That is what I've learned in society. Produce, and we do not care what else is happening. For better or for worse.
100%. The guy that we're not talking about right now, which I'm glad, and I just think, look, it's going to be up and down. I don't know if there's a way that he can go on a tear this year to salvage the batting average and all that stuff. Willie Adames is playing his best ball like right now, the second you got Devers. I feel like the at-bats, the results may not be as comprehensive as we would like, but he's batting .280 this week. He had 7 hits.
Got a home run.
All right. He just looks better. He looks more comfortable. Now he's not the new guy. He's not the guy with the biggest contract. They've moved him around in the lineup. I saw him bat 6th over the weekend. I seen him bat 2. Like, they've kind of bounced around. And I think that the lineup is going to be a work in progress with Rafi now. But I think if anything, like, bringing in Rafi has definitely given better pitch selection for Adames to see.
It's really a trickle-down effect, right? When you take the pressure off one of those guys, your other highest-paid player of the franchise, at one point, the highest-paid player in the history of the franchise, who was clearly pressing as well, now he can relax. Now you're hoping the Jung-Hoo Lee's, like, Bob's trying to figure it out, right? Bo Mel. He's clearly a lot of pressure on Jung-Hoo Lee when he's a leadoff guy. Keep moving him down the order, keep moving him down the order, and then maybe at one point you'll have to do what you did with Willie Adames. All right, here's a day off. Here's another. I know you like to play every day, but maybe just for your own mental health, if we have like a scheduled day off, you'd kind of double that, try to get him 2 days off in a row. I don't know what the answer is right now, but the league is adjusting Jung-Hoo Lee. He's still an infant when it comes to Major League Baseball, though. Same with Tyler Fitzgerald. These guys are learning on the fly. The problem is, if your other big boys are struggling, that's when it's magnified.
Right now, you know, if you look up, Marco Luciano's actually looking pretty good in AAA. Like, relative to what he's looked like prior.
Lucy?
Yeah, and I heard an interview with the hitting coach, the new hitting coach for the River Cats, and he's basically saying, like, hey, look, actually, he's hitting better than what the numbers look like. His results just haven't been great. He's hit the ball right at people. So I just wonder if they're going to maybe bring up Marco Luciano, try him in the outfield somewhere, and then move Yaz over to center for a day or two for Jung-Hoo Lee. Hell, just throwing out scenarios.
If you want to do it now, now's the time to get fat and happy when you're going against the Marlins and the White Sox these next two series, right? Some teams that you need to, at the very least, take the series from.
I just wonder where Buster is with Jung-Hoo Lee. Mm. As you bring it up, like, you know, like, this is where you get fat and happy. Is he a Buster guy long term?
Because
the crowd loves him. Like, when you go to the game, Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yeah.
Jung-Hoo Lee. Like, no, the crowd really does like him. Like, he
I
is
like
a player people will gravitate
to.
I mean, you
could
just tell by the lines outside the ballpark yesterday for his jersey. Like, the obsession with him is off the charts.
No, I agree. And he does play a good defensive center field. That's one thing that I've been pleasantly surprised with this year. That last year, it was only 37 games, but last year I was like, whoa.
You had a question mark.
Is he even that good? Now, he made a throw up the line on a play at home. Willmer's got to come over because the first baseman's your cutoff from center and right field on a throw home when a guy's at second. They're just, they threw the ball around way too much this weekend.
I think that is still a work in progress, is the defense of this club. I get it. When you have Matt Chapman at third base, it shadows a lot when you have one of the best at his position. We know what Devers is going to be at first. It's going to be a work in progress because he's never played that position before. Schmidt, I think we could count on. Willie Adames?
I like Dom Smith defensively at first.
Yeah.
I don't love Wilmer.
No, I hate Wilmer at first defensively.
Like, I get Sorry, why you, they're doing yeah, it.
You can be nice about it. I hate it.
Well, the other thing is when you watch him hold guys on, he's so slow-footed, he actually doesn't hold them on the traditional way. He has to hold them on a different way, and so you're not holding on anybody in that
situation.
He looks
like he's the oldest player on the roster.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is, because he is.
Well, I don't know how much so. We were talking to Bob about this yesterday, and he was kind of talking about the defense at first base, and this was more when it came to working Devers into first base, but I think it applies to Wilmer, too. He pretty much said up front, like, we're going to have some yikes games at first base going forward as we work these guys in. Devers especially, but I do think that applies to Wilmer, too, because they're going to keep Wilmer at first base because he's, right now, one of your most dependable hitters on this team.
No doubt. Mm. But defensively, how many plays this year? I feel like the first 3 months I've seen more this year than at any year prior. Have there been choppers? And I call it the Bermuda Triangle, meaning between pitcher's mound, first base, and second, where the pitcher has to cover, and you've had to make that toss where you lead the guy to first. How many times have they botched that play this year?
A lot. More than I can count and more than I care to count, because that's the one problem with this team right now. Chapman, come back, save us for the love of God. But it's not like he's at one position. He can't save everyone, right?
No.
It's like the same thing in football. It's great. I can get Nick Bosa back. There's still a secondary there, too, that needs to step up.
But this is the conundrum they're in. Like, you need Schmidt to move over to second while his bat's hot.
Trickle down.
And
exactly.
Then you want to play Dom Smith at first, because defensively he's your best defensive first baseman. But you got to play Wilmer because you got to get his bat in there if Devers is going to DH.
Absolutely. We can pick this up on the other side while also talking about this or that. Do we tease it here, Sammy? Are you going to give it to us right
now? Yeah, you guys
want
the question now?
Yeah, sure. Give it to us. So we can marinate on it.
Today's question is, because, you know, Rafi Devers being on the Red Sox, he's got a smiling or a cheesing, so to speak, as some people like to say. And so as we're cheesing, as we're smiling, it's got me thinking about cheese. And so my question today is, for the rest of your life, everything you eat will have cheese on it, or never have cheese ever again.
Wow.
Cheese on everything you eat.
Easiest answer ever.
Or never have cheese ever again for the rest of your life.
All right. We're going to tease that, this or that. The other side, start lining them up. 888-957-9570. That's the number. 888-957-9570. Call or text. This segment is about you, the people. This or that. Cheese on every meal or no cheese for the rest of your life. And it's going to be brought to you by San Francisco International Airport. Traveling in 2025, start your journey right at San Francisco International Airport.
Into a good hitter's count. And he smashes that one to left with some top spin. It's over Durant's head, and it's gone! Into the bleachers, Casey Schmidt. And man, did he smoke that thing.
And how much is a stretch like this, like how helpful has this been just for your confidence overall at the plate this season?
Good. I think starting off, I felt like I was putting together good at-bats, but just not really in results. But I've just kind of just been sticking with it and just hoping the results would come and just being confident in myself.
What's up, Roasters? It's Sam from Laughing Monk Brewing, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with my guys, Bodoni and Chasky. Bodoni, you better hit those brakes, buddy.
Oh, we're hitting it. This is such a sick beat. See, Murda? Down for my ninjas? That's what it said. That's what it is. Why are you covering your face? That's what it's called. I was listening to See, Murda way too young, by the way, when I was like 7 or 8, because my brother, Sam, who's your age, was always playing him. He was so invested in his trial way back once upon a time, too. Yeah, there you go. See Murda. There you go. As Casey Schmidt murdered that baseball. What?
Four.
Thank you. What? Why are you going? You like See Murda? Don't lie.
I love Life or Death. Great album. Mac, Mystical, and See Murda. Like three of my favorite No Limit Soldiers.
Oh, so good. It's just great beats, right? Y'all Ain't Ever Heard of Me. That's another one. What is that? Is that what the name of that song was? I forget. That's a great just. All-time beat.
I was born to be a soldier.
Casey Schmidt. All of a sudden, Schmidt happens. And it's happened over this weekend. Hey, start with that Dodgers series. When he had that grand slam to set the tone, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Casey Schmidt as Tyler Fitzgerald is fading, as Jung-Hoo Lee is fading. And again, up and down, we know how these series go. We know how seasons go. Ramos is going to have his ups and downs. Devers is going to have his ups and downs. It's about having enough of those people hitting at the same time to keep you afloat when Chapman comes back. And when Chapman comes back, hell, he's probably going to struggle more likely than not. So having these guys, having these reps right now, and being able to stick around, especially Casey Schmidt, I would like to see an infield at the end of the season, hopefully heading into the playoffs, consist of Chapman, Devers, Adamas, and Schmidt. I think that's what you want, right? Because that tells me Casey's hitting, and he's got a good glove. I got Chapman. He's a platinum glover. And if Devers is sticking around there, it means he's been serviceable enough to stick at first base, and he's been healthy enough.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They need to find a way to get their best defensive infield in there as many days as possible. And if that includes Schmidt at second base because his bat sticks, then that would be huge for them. They got to get Chapman back. Like they really miss. I think he misses bat in the lineup because he does draw a lot of walks. And they miss his glove in the field. There's no doubt about it. But the other part of this is, like, again, like, catching spot, he's got to be better. Bailey,
it's been awful. You can't get any worse. It's just been atrocious, dude. Like, the catching position, I get it. It's down
league
in baseball.
League-wide it is.
But it feels like this is the worst you're getting in the league, offensively.
And you've got to think that, like, Posey, like, this is why I keep coming back to the
that's
draft.
Got, no, he's a catcher first
that's
and foremost.
What I'm saying.
This has got to be painful
it's
to watch.
It's got to drive him nuts. So, I honestly know this is going to sound absurd. I truly believe they're going to draft three catchers in this upcoming draft. I don't know where, but I really do think they will.
You're just going like kind of what the Niners did this offseason, right?
They have
the
no
draft.
Catchers.
You just seem to go all defense. Just defense, defense, catching, right? Got to hit somewhere. I mean, Joey Bart, I get it. Like, he's not, like, crushing the baseball for the Pirates. But him batting .220 this year might as well be .300 on this Giants team. Right?
If Bailey was your backup catcher, you'd be golden.
Great. Exactly. But he's not.
As a starter, he just leaves
the,
a lot
the problem
to be desired.
Is you're getting a bunch of production from what would feel like backup catching. That's all you're getting offensively, which sucks. By the way, this or that coming up in 9 minutes.
I know. I can't get my mind off of ricotta
this
cheese.
Or that. This is it. Because, Sam, how did you even get to this? Because you saw Rafi Devers cheesing.
No, because Rafi Devers has Giants fans smiling or cheesing, as we like to say. And one thing leads to another.
And Randy Rodriguez throws the high cheese.
Exactly. Right. Stuff like that. You know, guys, we're talking about Patrick Bailey. I just put this out here. Dave Fleming, we had him on a few weeks ago, talked about how Bailey does kind of what Buster Posey wants him to do the most. I'm curious. I'll play it right here for you. If you think, you know, in the weeks since we've heard that, if that still applies, well, unless you want me to hold for a second.
Well, just hold on. I just wanted to throw out the number, 888-957-9570, this or that. Do you want cheese on every meal for the rest of your life? Or no cheese at all. It's one or the other. Either you get cheese for every meal the rest of your life, or you can't eat cheese at all. 888-957-9570. That's in 8 minutes. Continue, Sam.
Yeah, so Dave said this on May 27th, so about a month ago. Here's what he had to say about how Bailey's doing, what the Giants want. And I'm curious if you guys still feel like this applies for him.
Buster said it publicly at the start of spring training. He said it to Patrick individually, and he said it to everybody. The number one job of the catcher is to be the leader, the captain of the pitching staff. And the Giants have arguably the best pitching staff in the game, and Patrick is doing more than his fair share in that regard. And that is the number one job. And in some ways, it's up to everybody else to pick up the offense. Like, in some ways, what the Giants' all-time greatest catcher has said is, let that spot be dedicated to what Bailey does best. And would we be talking about his offensive struggles as much if Lamont Wade were hitting and Willie Adamas were hitting and Mike Yastrzemski hadn't fallen into a slump? We wouldn't be, probably. So I think the Giants internally are still focused on the great stuff that Patrick Bailey brings.
Let me ask you guys, while Bailey was...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out, did you notice a huge drop-off in terms of pitch selection from behind the plate for the bullpen and the starters when Kisner? I'm not pretending like we all should be, you know, drilled in on what all the pitchers look like, but did we notice this huge drop-off behind the plate and for the pitching staff when it comes to, like, how the catcher is calling balls and strikes?
Calling
pitches.
Not really.
I didn't notice a big
one. I'll ask a question in response to your question, Joe. How many times were we watching a Giants game like, oh, man, if Patrick Bailey's back there? Whereas at times at third base, we see plays where it's just like, if you had Chapman there, that's different.
That's a great
How many
way
times were you
no,
thinking, wow, if Patrick Bailey's back there, what's going on?
I haven't thought that once.
You know, yeah.
Maybe one backhand where you go, because what's his face does the one knee down?
Yeah.
Not Kisner, the other guy. Porter?
Porter, yeah.
Yeah, and he let one go by him. But actually, Porter's made a couple of good plays at the plate on some tags, or did. I guess he got sent back down.
Yeah, he got sent back down when Bailey came back from his neck injury. But yeah, it was like, you know, maybe there was a moment like, oh, Bailey turns that ball into a strike with his pitch framing or something like that. But I don't recall ever being like, oh, man, really would have liked to have Patrick Bailey back there for that.
And let's be fair here. I'm not trying to crush Bailey. I'm rooting for the guy. Like, a switch hitting catcher, like, who's 20, what, at 5 or whatever?
And how many guys has he gotten on those back picks, too? You don't see those when Bailey's not behind the plate.
He's got a good arm. He's got a very good arm. He's got a very quick release. I think he's a very good defensive catcher. But I think there's a happy medium in what Dave said, meaning like, oh, we don't care at all about his bat. I do, because how many times has one flyout helped knock in a run to win a game for the Giants?
I'm sorry. Maybe this is an unfair comparison because he's having a historic year. But yeah, I feel some type of way when I see the catcher doing his thing up in Seattle, Cal Raleigh, just destroying baseballs.
Jacks.
Can you think of just polar opposite production from the catching position than what's going on in Seattle compared to San Francisco? It's night and day. Mm. So when I see that happening, sure. Everyone wants Cal Raleigh on their team right now. I get that. It's an unfair comparison, but that's what I look at if I'm watching highlights and highlights and highlights. I was like, can I get just one highlight from Patrick Bailey at all? I'm not asking for 30 home runs. Can I get 10?
Well, this goes back to if Jung-Hoo Lee was hitting and second base showed any life offensively over the last month, I don't think the pressure on Bailey would be even as close to as big as it is now.
No, there's a lot of pressure on the guy right now because honestly, it's not the Michael Jordan, it's not the Stephen Curry, but the standard has been set at the catching position from Buster Posey. It was him, Yadier Molina, and Joe Mauer, three of the greatest catchers, and we've seen in the last two decades, and they set the bar very high.
And Salvador Perez, who's
and Salvi.
Still,
yeah, he's still going.
I mean, like, I don't think he's the same generation, but
yeah,
he's still around.
He's still around, and you know what? He was part of that, you know, kind of at the middle or tail end of Posey, not tail end. But Posey and Yachty is kind of jammed in there as a rookie. But yeah, that's, again, we've had a great run on catchers at
we
that
really
position.
Have.
And it's kind of, you know, magnified the position in a way. It's like, damn, how many good catchers are there in the major? Seriously, like, what are the really good catchers? Can you name five catchers right now off the top of your head?
JT Realmuto.
Okay.
Will Smith.
Okay.
Obviously, Bailey. You know, Salvador Perez.
No, not even Bailey. Like, good catchers.
Oh,
like,
good. Well, I mean, like, JT Realmuto is going to, obviously, I think he's like 35 or 36. He's older. Like, he's sneaky older than you think.
Yeah.
Will Smith, obviously.
Yes, really good for the Dodgers.
There was the young guy for the Arizona Diamondbacks whose name I always mispronounced. He won the Rookie of the Year the year that Bailey was up. Or he won the Gold Glove the year.
Maldonado?
No, Maldonado's in San Diego.
Oh, is it Gabriel Moreno?
What? Moreno.
Moreno.
Yes,
there you
thank
go.
You, Moreno. What's his first name? How do you pronounce it?
I think it's Gabriel Moreno.
Is it Gabriel?
Yeah.
I thought it was
something else. Let me fact check that really quick.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of them, Joe.
There's not. That's what I'm getting at here. It's a very
there's not
niche.
A lot of them.
It's turning kind of like a niche position where it's hard to find them. Let's go to Adam in San Francisco. He has some positives he wants to take away from this weekend.
Before you go to Adam, there was a lot of rhetoric about Will Smith, who I bring up. He's batting .328 this year.
He's so good. I remember
328.
I think Vontae triggered people last year because he dared compare him to like Buster Posey. He's like, he kind of gives me Buster Posey vibes. I was like, hey, he's won a couple World Series now. He's like their number one guy. Like, and What makes Will Smith? No, well, yeah, I know. I'm not making your point for you, Bonte. But what makes him really freaking good is he has to work with a revolving door of starting pitchers constantly there.
Yeah.
They're always hurt in Dodger land.
But then there's a lot of guys like Sean Murphy who wouldn't come to the front of your mind regarding, like, they're elite. Like, I don't think he's elite. He's solid, though. I'd love to have him.
Listen,
like,
he's batting 220, but 220
I would take Sean Murphy.
220 with 9 home runs, 21 RBIs. Yeah, I'll take that.
That's what I'm
saying. He'll give me
some
pop, at least.
If you ask the question, how many good catchers? There's not a lot of great catchers, right?
Not a lot.
But again, one of them in your division is batting 328 right now.
Well, you know,
some
people ask how many great podcasts there are out there right now. Well, there's a really good one here called Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. And you can catch new episodes daily or every week at the very least. Occasionally. Sam Lubman, Stephen Rizzotto, and once upon a time, Joe Shasky bring you the... Do you mean to do this, or does it autocorrect? It says eBay Giants Talk on the whole planet.
Oh, that might just be a typo. Yeah,
that's exactly because this has been there for a while now. I was like, is there like a play on words there? You're trying to sell the podcast? Like, I don't know what you're doing there.
Try to bring.
Okay, this week on the pod, Sam was in need. This is good. Sam was in need of a co-host, which is why Dan Dibley will be joining him on the show later this week. I messed up the uptick there, but there you go. Dan Dibber Claus here joining Sam Lubman. That'll be very good. Yeah, sorry. What?
No. It's just like I know we want to get into this or that here coming up. It's just the problem with Bailey right now is that he's throwing the ball around a little. Now, he's made some plays. I could live with like a 180 average if you had like 7 or 8 jacks.
Exactly.
What's he got, 1 jack this year?
Yeah, 1 jack. You don't
Number
know jack.
One.
Like, so the batting average has got to come up a little. The OBP has got to come up a little. It just has to.
Well, it can't be any worse. That's what I'm saying. Can it be worse than what you're getting right now? It can't be any worse. Like, we were saying that with Willie Adames.
Well, it could be Tom Murphy.
Well, he's hurt.
Could always be worse.
He's hurt.
Could always be worse.
If you're comparing him to a hurt player, that's where we are.
Could always be worse.
Obviously, as we see Cal Raleigh on our TV screens right now, 31 home runs, 659 slugging.
I mean, it's unreal.
Oh, my God, 383
on base. He's got better offensive numbers in a lot of categories than Aaron Judge. I know.
Well, the Yankees fans are so spoiled right now. Oh, it's Aaron Judge.
Oh, I hate them.
Shut up. You know what I'm thinking about Aaron Judge? His misplay in the outfield in the World Series. Work on that, Aaron. Adam, San Francisco, what's up, buddy?
Guys, so all this talk about the catchers, I'm like, I would take Eli Whiteside right now compared to what we have going behind the plate.
I'll take him right now. How old is he?
No,
50? Just take him right now, too. See what he's up to.
He looked 50 when he was in his prime, but you know what? That man came in with some clutch hits. No, we need to do something about the catcher, guys. I mean, glad that we won the series. Just a couple positives from that. But it's like, no, we do not have a guy at the center, or sorry, the catcher position that can hit right now. And it's just like, man, like it just someone even just remotely serviceable would be good. I mean, these batting averages for them are not good. But I'll take your answer off about this off air. But Casey Schmidt, guys, man, when Chapman comes back, he is swinging a hot bat right now. Went from 226 to 286 since the injury. He's seeing the ball well. Can he please play second? We'll see. I want to know your thoughts, but. Told Lubman this on Friday when I got to see him at the game at the Red Sox game. But what's up?
You got to see Lubman and I didn't on Friday, so he made his way to go.
I guess
see
he
you.
Likes me more than you. What can I say?
Oh, shots fired!
Just hang up.
Get
on this
owned,
guy.
Bro.
No, but I'll sign off with this. I just wanted to say I told him I was going to do this on Friday, but. You know, we got Rafael Devers, we got Adames, we got Wilmer Flores, and this is all for our, like, Latino base here for 95.7, but wanted to sign off with this. Soy Adán en el Ciudad y estás escuchando al Morning Rose en 95.7 El Partido. Thanks, guys.
There you go. I heard a Nick Punto in there. Is that what he was referencing to?
I think that was a rejoin that he just did right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. That's great. He's doing the bilingual version. I think Adam is dating a woman that is Latina, so he's trying. I think that's actually what he's really trying to do. No, he's trying to get bonus points with the chica sociable, and I appreciate that.
All right?
I appreciate that. You know what else I appreciate? This or that.
Light up the phone lines. Call 957-9570 right now, because it's time for this or that.
I had my maps timed out, bro.
This, that, and this, and it's like that, like this, and like that, and it's like...
What's up, Joe, bro?
All right, it's this or that.
Hey, I'm Lubman.
No, you have to play the whole thing.
The J.J. Redick. Just...
Hey, I'm Ludman. I'm going to be at Freeman's and Plies this Saturday with Mark Grant.
Wow! But he's not. But maybe you could catch him just randomly there. You just hang out at Friedman's, Sam, sometimes?
Grandy sometimes does.
Okay. Yeah,
I went to the Friedman's in Santa Rosa just the other day.
Really? What did you need?
I was looking for door handles. I was in need of door handles.
Squirt. You need to get the air fryer, bro. I'm telling you. Friedman's will hook it up. The air fryer. You need one. They're great.
Air fryer timed out, bro.
I used one yesterday. Used one yesterday for some air fried zucchini. It was very good with a little Cajun seasoning.
Timed out,
it was
bro.
Great.
Give it to me one more time. Your JJ is really good.
I got my air fryer timed out, bro.
I had my naps timed out, bro.
That's LJ. When LJ's going to get older, he's talking about him being a baby with Joe. He's like, dude, I had my naps timed out.
I had my naps timed out,
there
bro.
You go.
Dude, we had a couple of long car rides, and he fell asleep in the car ride. It was great.
Those are some elite naps right there.
I actually miss that. Like, if you go back as being a kid, we'll get to this or that in a second. Being able just to fall asleep in the car, like, at a young age, and then automatically you'd wake up and you'd be, whether you're driving to, like, L.A. or San Diego, it's like you fell asleep for, like, 4 or 5 hours. Yeah. It's like, I miss that. I can't fall asleep on anything.
No, me neither.
I just can't. A plane, train, automobile, doesn't matter.
Well, at least you keep your shoes on, unlike Monte, who takes his shoes off.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Pants, socks, he's, like, cuddled up. It's, yeah, you just, can't be it's just such a
the
no.
Worst,
in first class.
the worst thing in an airplane is to be stuck behind someone that clearly didn't put on any deodorant.
Oh, don't even start.
It's the worst.
What's the this or that again?
Well, since we were all cheesing this weekend, the cheese question today.
Wait, what
is,
does cheesing mean?
Cheesing means smiling.
Okay, for the people
don't get
don't
confused
know.
With the South Park episode.
Well, we have different. Okay, yeah, thank you. We have different like generations here. So they might
know
what cheese
means. You smile on a camera, you say cheese.
We used to call cocaine cheese at one point. There's like a there's a name for it.
Well, in South Park, that episode, it was like it was cheese, like cat pee, was like cheesing and like high off of it.
Well, but no, we're talking about the real cheese. We're talking about real cheese, not drug cheese.
Give it to me.
So for the rest of your life, guys, everything you eat will have cheese on it, or you will never have cheese ever again.
Yeah, I'm all in on cheese, and let me explain this to you.
you were waiting for this.
I was in need of cheese.
Yesterday alone, my wife made a lasagna, and it was spurned off of me having a pizza on Saturday night at one of my favorite places in the world, Pizzalia, in Windsor, California. And they put ricotta on the pepperoni and sausage, and it was just, the ricotta cheese was to die for.
Okay.
To die for. There's something about a good charcuterie board where there's a ton of cheese. I can just whack off little, chunks of the cheese.
Nice little brie on there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll do any kind of cheese. I'll have a slice. This was one of my favorite things in the world to do, is I call it the Tony Soprano, where I'll take a roll of either salami or turkey. I'll roll it up and put provolone or salami cheddar, and the cheddar will break or whatever. Oh, yeah. And I'll roll it up and I'll just eat it like that. Just cheese and meat. Like, boom. I'm all in on cheese.
You know what I used to do real quick, Sammy? Yeah. You know what I used to do off that?
I got to have my
cheese. I got the salami. So I got like the Columbus salami, right?
Yeah.
The solid.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You get
the
red wine with the garlic one. I love that one.
Okay.
And then you get, I like a little pepper jack. Doesn't matter. It can be whatever.
Oh, I love pepper jack.
A little pepper jack.
I'm all in on pepper
jack.
Get
a little spice there. And then I'd make like a little, like you fold it. I'd put some goldfish in the middle of there, and I'd roll it up. It has a little crunch with there.
What?
I know. Well, that's the dad in me. I got
that.
The goldfish because the kids love the goldfish,
oh my
right?
God.
It's easy.
I love goldfish no matter what.
Right? It's a great snack.
Smack,
so
smile, pack.
What did you want to add to that, Stanley?
Well, no, again, it's just you like your provolone with your salami, but then for dessert, and I know you like ice cream a lot. Are you putting provolone now onto your ice cream?
No, I'll go cheesecake.
Okay. Yeah, you there.
Well, you
got
to put cheese on that cheesecake.
Oh,
is there cheese in cheesecake?
What?
Is there actually cheese in cheesecake?
There's
cream cheese. They substitute.
Oh, hello?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. You know what? You found a nice little loophole there.
That's,
all right, respect it. Well, okay, so you're just never going to have ice cream for the rest of your life? Just go to cheesecake?
No, you could have a scoop of ice cream alongside the cheesecake.
Like but Sam, you got to think about this, because cheese is a dairy product.
Yeah.
Almost all baked goods, if they're not vegan, it has like dairy.
Yeah.
So you're good.
All like, in on cheese, bro.
All in. So that's this or that.
All in.
All right, you found a good little loophole there.
Dude, cheese is delicious.
888-957-9570. It's
eggs.
This or that. Going forward, you either have to have cheese with every single meal or no cheese at all the rest of your life. Which one are you taking? 888-957-9570. Speaking of cheesing, Oreo cookie.
What's up, Oreo?
Wants to talk about it. Oreo.
Are you in or out? I'm about that cheese life.
This or that, baby.
Cheese on Oreos.
What up, fellas? Hey, gotta go all in on the cheese, man. I'm thinking long term, it might do a little bit of damage later on, but we're not thinking later on. Who cares about that, right? And like the great Mac Dre said, may he rest in peace. you know, he's going to come through your hood all Chuck E. Cheesed out, and he likes nachos cheesy, baby.
Oh, that connection was cheese in there, Oreo cookie. But he's all in on it. I appreciate that.
Look, there's Chuck Parmesan cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, by the way, sneaky. You know what? It might be back, people. Chuck
really?
E. Cheese might be the action might be back at Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay,
they've leaned into a lot of new things. I've been a couple times in the past calendar year. There's action at Chuck E. Cheese. Continue.
I mean, there's crumbled blue cheese. There's fondue.
What's your favorite cheese of all time?
Ooh, I mean, that depends what kind of setting I'm
no,
in.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I mean, you're going. I'm giving you the
what?
Question.
This is
going
to be controversial. I'm going to go back to the old school. I love an American craft single.
It's versatile. It melts very quickly.
It's foldable.
You
foldable.
Taste the processed in it.
Oh, dude, you have to peel the plastic off of it. There's something about it.
I would just house those things like
sandwiches.
I would just house those things when I was a kid.
Me
just
too.
Peel them out and just eat them. And in hindsight, it's like, oh, that was
and
gross.
And they melt perfectly in the microwave.
It does. American cheese, by the way, is I like to look this up first. It's a processed cheese product. It's made by blending cheddar, Colby, and others, and then adding other ingredients like milk fats, whey protein, emulsifiers, and sometimes color.
If I had to choose one, though, I would say that the mozzarella category probably is the most versatile because you can do mozzarella loaves, right, where it's basically provolone. It's a smoked mozzarella. Or you could do mozzarella balls, the matzo balls, all that kind of stuff. So it's probably the most versatile of them all.
I mean, you got to go Parmesan, right? Parmigiano Reggiano. Like, it's just the crumbliness. You just mix it with everything. If you're making a baked ziti, right? If you're making some meatballs, if you're just sprinkling some on top of your pasta, you want more Parm? Yes, I want more chicken Parm.
So you're in with me. You're all in on cheese.
I love cheese. Dude, me too. My last name is Spadoni.
I know.
Like, I got to eat cheese.
I know.
Like, the one, like, least Italian thing about me is me not liking mushrooms. Dude, your boy likes cheese. Okay, it might not like me back depending on the day of night, and I might be a little gassy, but that's okay. It happens. All right,
I don't want to hear about that.
What?
Why what are we this, doing? What,
it's a, so what? The,
okay,
we're adults here. It's okay.
The best part about cheese, it's great cold. It's great warm. It's great like when it's boiling. It's great all the time. Last night, Michelle made a lasagna. It was delicious. It was like a 8-layer lasagna.
I'm trying to get on Michelle's good side.
No,
right now.
No, it was delicious. And I'm telling you, the ricotta. There's something about ricotta.
There's cheese you don't like.
Oh yeah,
I'm not
head
a huge
cheese, which isn't really cheese.
That's
it's
not,
actually
no,
meat.
That's from like a head of like I, an ant. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's the
fat.
The snout,
right? It's all the good, the gross
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so, well, but that's quote, technically quote, not a cheese.
It's not. I'm not a huge Gouda guy.
Gouda's okay.
It's very like
gotta be smoked.
Yeah, it's, exactly. It's not.
Yeah,
I don't like it on sandwiches or like anything like that. Not for me. I do love me some blue cheese though.
You know what we do in the Shasky house?
Yeah.
The unhinged. We just take full bites out of our string cheese.
I do that too.
Okay,
actually.
So I'm not alone.
No, I do that.
People say that's psycho behavior.
No, I grew up. I don't need to pull it apart. I just eat the cheese.
I'll peel it for LJ and then I'll go in and take a big bite of it. Oh, we're at the bottom of the cheese. He's not going to finish it. I guess it's dad's.
888-957-9570. It's this or that. Are you taking cheese with every single meal the rest of your life? Or you get no cheese at all. So think about this. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? So breakfast, go cheese omelet, right? If we have to have cheese, I can eat a cheese omelet every day.
Sharp cheddar for breakfast is probably the go-to.
Yes.
Colby would be in the category
or
as well.
What I like to do is you get the Mexican blend, which has Colby cheddar and the Monterey Jack.
That's the go-to cheese.
You sprinkle it on top, right? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Easy for the kids. And also it's very versatile. Because I can make a quesadilla at lunchtime with it.
Dude,
add whatever I want.
Are off the hook.
They hit every single
time. They are, dude.
Get
a little meat in there, too.
There you go.
I don't even need the meat, dude.
Sometimes you don't.
It enhances it, though.
Little hot sauce and sour cream, and I'll just make it work.
There you go.
Dude, you got to do it. When we were growing up, Sam, we didn't have all these amenities like protein, okay?
No.
We didn't have all this chicken and stuff. We had what was ever left in the cupboard. We were poor.
There you go.
All right, we made the most at least throw a little Cholula in there, little
Cholula?
Oh, yeah.
Cholula.
Whatever the hell it is. A little crystal hot sauce.
Gonna mark that one.
You know, we got a little bit of sour cream left over. Throw a little sour cream on there.
Always.
Like, come, dude.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were MacGyver cookers back in the day.
I've learned that...
You know what I'm talking about.
And I've also learned... With a paperclip and a string?
I've learned the difference between crema and sour cream. The consistencies are a lot different. Sour cream... Us Americans like a little bit more. When you think of super burritos, you got to have the sour cream and guacamole in there every single time, right? Sour cream, a little thicker, a little more tangy. The crema, it's a little bit more liquidy, and it's not as tangy, but it's very versatile.
What are the little ones with the wax wheels around them that you get them in a
Baby Bells?
The Baby Bells.
Baby Bells. Oh, yeah. Those Michelle gets these Baby Bells, and they're good. They are good. But to me, like, we're wasting a lot of wax on these bad boys. No, we really are.
It is wax anyways.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, I have to, like, open the dang thing up. And then when the little piece falls on the floor, Leo the dog, it just eats it up every time.
Yeah, you can eat wax.
What are you supposed to put it in? If not wax.
Foil?
I don't know.
Some of them have the foil where you, like, peel it, and then it's like you can
I'm ripping apart the netting. I'm in one of these, like, strength competitions. Like, ah! To try to open up the Baby Bells. They're called Baby Bells? That's what they're called?
So I'm going cheese omelet.
The little wax wheels.
Yeah, cheese omelet. I'll go quesadilla for lunch. We're enhancing the cheese here. Snacks in between? Are you just having more cheese on top of it, or are you going to try to, like, spread that out a little bit?
And it's just cheese on everything you eat. Well, it has to have cheese on it.
Time out. The most underrated cheese. What's the most underrated? Underrated.
Because
I know what it is for me.
Underrated cheese. Tell me yours first.
Havarti. No one ever wants to go to the Havarti line. It's creamy. It melts really well. It's delicious cold. It crumbles and falls apart. I think Havarti is one of the more underrated. If you go to a good deli, they always have a good Havarti. I'm telling you, Havarti is very underrated.
I don't think this is underrated because it's in most, like, sandwiches that are Italian, but I do love me some provolone. I do like that.
It's gotta be smoked.
It's gotta be smoked, but I do like it. It's a little more pungent, not quite as pungent. And I do like this. I like funky cheeses. I do. Like when, like, the aromas are a little more funky. It's a little more like, ooh, that hurt my nostrils. Yeah, yeah. Like France, they got a lot of different kinds, right?
Yeah.
It's like creamy and get it in there.
We don't have Swiss in France. We have Gruyere.
Gruyere. It's like, get out of here, it's Swiss.
Yeah. I do love a good Swiss.
Goat cheese, ricotta, you've said. Burrata, right?
Burrata is delicious.
Yeah.
Actually, burrata is all, oh my God.
We mentioned Monterey Jack, Pepper Jack. I don't think outside of Gouda, really.
A lot of Jacks.
Thank you. Underrated though, yeah, I'll go provolone, but I don't think that's underrated. There's not really an underrated cheese because we, like, talk about cheese so much as a society.
Well, I would say that provolone cannot be underrated. If it's a part of most American delis, Swiss, American, cheddar, provolone, like, those are your standards,
right?
Would you agree?
Yes, I would say that. Like, okay, so I search top underrated cheeses, and it goes to names I can't even, like, pronounce. I don't even know. Campo de Montalban.
Yeah, that's too
what?
Deep.
No,
that's
what? Too deep. This is like, we're going to, like, that's like too deep. Barcelona or something.
I'm the guy
that
goes to the grocery store, Molly Stone's, up on top of, what is it, Portola up there. And if they have, like, little dices of cheese with the toothpick in it, I go in, I get one bite, and then I circle around through the chip aisle and then come back around like I'm a new guy and a different person, even though I know that they know it's me and I just had a piece of cheese. And I get a second one.
Do you like cottage cheese?
No, my wife loves it.
Yeah, I've been with a
I'm
lot.
I'm out on cottage
a
cheese.
A lot of females I've dated or have been with, they have said they love cottage cheese. And I get it. It's low fat, right? It's healthy, quote unquote. It's like a curdled milk, which grosses me out. So, like, that in and of itself doesn't have the stank of, like, you've left your whole milk gallon in there way too long. You pour it out, and it's gross in the sink, and it's smelly. That's kind of what I associate with cottage cheese. But, hey, to each their own. 888-957-9570 is this or that. You can only have cheese with every meal for the rest of your life, or you get no cheese at all. So what is the go-to for you of a cheese meal, Joe. What do you say?
There's two stories I have to tell. Some of my buddies are just insane when it comes to cheese. First one is Young Guido. We went to Oregon one night for a big, this is back in like our, I don't know, we might have been teenagers. Maybe we were in our 20s. We went to Oregon and McDonald's, he got a McDonald's burger and the cheese wasn't melted at all. And he gave it back to the McDonald's worker. And Guido was like,
respect.
Hey, bro, could you melt the cheese?
It's like me asking for garlic on the garlic fries.
And then another one. This is how picky some of my boys are when it comes to the food. I was like, Guido, you really gave it back to the McDonald's. He's like, yeah, bro, it wasn't melted. The other one.
There's really.
Gotta have it melted, dude.
No, hold on. I'm not doing that at McDonald's,
that's
bro.
What I'm saying.
I'm doing that at a fine dining restaurant.
I'm Mickey D's timed out, bro.
Yeah, no. No.
I had my naps timed out, bro.
I had my slices timed out, bro.
Well, one time, my boy Sully bought sandwiches for everybody, and he bought my boy Rocco a pastrami sandwich, and he put American cheese on it. Oh. And my boy Rocco was like, I mean, pastrami and American cheese, you couldn't put the Swiss on there?
Well, that's a good thing.
But that's what I'm talking about. The combos matter.
Well, like, that's the same thing with what is prototypical Philly cheesesteak, right? Cheese and steak.
Or Whiz.
But that's the cheese Whiz product. Are we counting that in this? The cheese Whiz.
Gotta have a little Whiz.
Is that even cheese? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's in a can.
Exactly. I don't even know what that is. So,
okay, when you get nachos at a stadium,
it's not
that's,
cheese.
That's coming out of a bag or coming out of a can.
Or a tin. Yeah, right.
Yeah, like it's one or the other.
It's okay. I love me some nacho cheese.
I do too.
It's got to have that like jalapeno, like the spicy nacho cheese too, with a little jalapeno tang to it. Oh, so good. I don't want like the real, like if I'm getting nachos, I kind of don't want the real cheese. I want like the canned cheese on it. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
It's kind of like.
But you can't microwave the whole thing. Because if you microwave, then the chips get soggy.
No. You have the chips.
This turned into a total food episode.
No. You boil it or you put it in the pot. You get the pan. It boils a little bit. Gets hot and juicy. Then you sprinkle it on top there. Get the sour cream. You get more cheese sprinkled on top of it. Then you get the jalapenos. You get the salsa. And then you're chilling. And then you get Fast Five, Sammy. That's what you also get.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I'm so hungry right now.
So here's my final thought. I want to go around the room. Is what Young Guido did acceptable or not to hand back the McDonald's?
I'm backing Young Guido on this. If you want your burger, with melted cheese, and it doesn't come with melted cheese, you absolutely have the right to go back to the counter and say, "Hey, this burger's supposed to have melted cheese. It does not. I need you to rectify this problem
you
right now."
I love the double arches, and they love me back. I got two double cheeseburgers last week. They were very melted and very delicious.
If they weren't melted, though, what would you have done?
Still eating it.
Am I a fat boy to say that, and I admit this, I think we all do this, but I'm going to admit it. There's times I'll eat the cheese off the wrapper when it's super melted to it.
Oh, I'll do that.
Well, yeah, it's because you're a person.
Well,
yeah,
no,
okay.
Well, In-N-Out, that happens all the time.
All the time, and I love to eat the cheese off the wrapper without obviously eating the wrapper. It's just, I know that like sounds disgusting to say it out loud, but yet I love doing
that. It's like the fries at the bottom of the bag. It's like an extra little treat for you.
Don't be cutting the cheese. That's what we don't want, right?
Unless you're in Shasky's truck.
Yeah, what's your final thought, Joey?
My truck doesn't exist anymore. It's been totaled.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there.
This has been a fun week of Giants baseball, and I'm really excited. They're at home all week, correct, Sammy?
No, they go on the road, don't they?
On Friday, going to face the White Sox.
Yeah. So, I'd rather be the White Sox.
Capital Revenge Series this week, Marlins.
So they got the Marlins this week at home. So
I would rather be the White Sox.
I think you know, just Giants fans, go out to a game. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it really is. And right now, like, the team's humming. The vibe around the city's been great. And I'm just, as a native San Franciscan, I'm really proud that the city's slowly coming back.
Hey, God, Sammy, what's your final thought today?
Yeah, my final thought is I got another PSA for people. If you're that person who's driving on the freeway and you see someone putting their signal on that they're going to merge into the next lane, and your reaction is, I'm going to drive faster and not let this person in. Just know that you are the worst person driving on the road. And yes, I am talking to you, guy in the white construction pickup truck from this morning.
Damn, Sam, putting them on blast.
Two people. It's like, what are you doing, bro? It's 4 a.m. Drive like a normal person.
I was going to say that right there.
I got my brakes timed out, bro.
I got my blade. Like, I'm using a blinker, which is better than most people.
Out, bro.
And this guy's like, if he wants to get in, well, I'm just going to speed on up and then, you know, shoot his high beams in the back of his car. It's like, dude, you suck. I hate you.
Piggybacking off of that, please use return signals.
I totally agree.
It's really easy, people. I can't predict what you're doing. on a day in and night out basis when it comes to driving, use your damn turn signals. All right, you're not too cool to use them. I'm just letting you know that. You're not too cool to not wear a seatbelt. Just do the little things. All right?
What's worse, not using your signal or the people who ignore the signal and try and speed up and not let you in?
Just not using the signal.
You're
at
emotional.
All.
It's
all right.
I got me irritated this morning.
Pick
I don't like
one
it.
Cheese.
Colby Jack.
Ooh, what about you? Pick one.
Okay. Pepper Jack. All time. I love me. Some
whoever else is behind the glass,
Zach,
I can't even see.
What's your final thought?
Zach,
what's your
is
cheese?
That Steven?
Yeah, Zach. Oh, your mic's not up. We can't hear you. Hold on.
Rookie.
It's all right.
That's on me. That's on me.
It's all right.
Rookie.
What do we got, Zach Attack?
At the Logan Porter.
I'm going with Tommy Fleetwood here. He has never won a PGA Tour event. It looked like an absolute lock yesterday. And on the 18th hole, he had a putt for the playoff. And if you watch it closely, something alters the ball, and it just barely goes right. There was something on the ground. It must have been... I don't know, it's golf, but he might be one of the best PGA Tour players to never win it. He's come so close in the 2023 Canadian Classic. If you remember, Nick Taylor had this like 70-foot putt to win it, but he's my final thought today, Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood, who's made...
Looks like golf Jesus.
He does. I always thought he looked like British version of Madison Bumgarner.
Oh, that's a good one.
$38 million in his career.
Yeah, he's doing just fine.
That's what I'm going to say. He's chilling right there.
Ryder Cup legend.
Let's just call it what it is. He choked yesterday. That was a big, fat choke job from one Tommy Fleetwood. And it happens in golf. You could say it in individual sports, okay? When it's just all on them, you see it. And he choked. And it sucks. My final thought is... I'm hungry, and I'm going to go get some Mexican food. And that was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity at Home or on the go. Get the fastest internet to all your devices. The show known as Steiny and Guru is up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for you. I'm scared all of a sudden, Joe.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.